Hey friends, I hope you're all staying as safe and healthy and comfortable as possible, and that you're taking care of all the people and pets and plants that are important to you. As a kid being raised by a single mom with a full-time job, I had to spend a lot of time with my grandmother, or Nana, as I called her. As such, I went where Nana went, and one place my Nana went a lot was the pharmacy. The best part about going to the pharmacy as a little boy who was obsessed with robots and video games was the free blood pressure machine. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, the free blood pressure machine was like a carnival ride, a video game, and a robot all in one. The free blood pressure machine was a seat with a long tube built into it that you could put your arm into. And what I'd do is sit myself in the seat and put my little arm into the tube, and then I'd hit buttons on this screen that looked like something from the Star Wars until the cuff in the tube tightened itself around my arm. Back then, that was my fun. These days, having my blood pressure taken isn't nearly as fun. Folks, you are listening to the People Are the Enemy podcast. I'm the host of the show. My name is Andy Mascola. There are no ads on this program, and there is no Patreon set up for it. The only thing I've ever asked of listeners is if you love the show, and if you'd like to help support it and myself monetarily, and get yourself or the reader in your life some excellent fiction, the best way to do that is to purchase any or all of my novels. I'm the author of 11 self-published books that are all currently available worldwide in both paperback and ebook formats via Amazon. If you don't use Amazon, you can purchase all of my titles in ebook format at Google Play. Just search my last name, which is spelled M-A-S-C-O-L-A. That's how you'll find me on Google Play. If you've already purchased any or all of my books, thank you, thank you, thank you. I sincerely appreciate your generous patronage. And with all that out of the way, here's the quirky theme song. People Are the Enemy listeners, this is episode 330 of the People Are the Enemy podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out. You are now rocking with the best. I hope you are doing well. Hope you're enjoying yourself. We're going to have a great week. I know it. I can feel it. Mercury is no longer in retrograde. We're going to get after it. We're going to take care of each other. We're going to take care of ourselves. That's right, Dr. John. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's take it down. From 1973, that was the song Right Place, Wrong Time by Dr. John. I've got the window open today, 75 degrees, sunny, here in New England. Beautiful day. If you hear birds in the background, that's what it is. I just took a few handfuls of dark chocolate-covered espresso beans to give me a little kick so I can deliver the goods. And when I say the goods, I mean this podcast. This is the thing I love doing. I love speaking with you. It's good to have you along. Thank you so much for listening. You know, I found a lost dog this week. It's true. You know, I always tell stories about walking with my dog, Lola. But ever so infrequently do I come across a dog that is lost. Normally a dog will run out of a house and the owner will be quickly followed behind trying to get it back in. But not this time, no. No, I actually made a TikTok about it. If you follow me on TikTok, you may have seen this. This was this past Thursday. I was walking Lola down our street, busy street, and from out of nowhere, this little French bulldog, no collar, no leash, no nothing, naked as the day he was born, comes shooting across this busy street. Fortunately, there were no cars coming. Runs right up to Lola and I. Of course, he's curious. Smelling Lola. Lola's smelling him. And I'm like, whoa, what do I do? I don't know what to do with this little guy. I'm looking around. I don't see anybody. Only, again, the occasional car passing by on this busy street. And I just, you know, I said, I did what felt natural. I said, I should probably TikTok this. I guess natural for me in 2024, but I thought to myself, I should document this. This is unusual and would probably make an interesting story. And it did. I began filming this little guy and myself, wondering what the heck I should do with this poor little lost dog with nobody behind it, chasing after it, trying to get it back into its home. And I look across the street into this parking lot of a townhouse complex that was directly across from where the three of us were standing. And when I say the three of us, I mean myself, my dog Lola, and this little French bulldog. And I see what looks like a 1.5-year-old, maybe, kind of toddling out on her own in this parking lot with no adult supervision. And I said, all right, that must be connected to this, meaning that the child must be connected to this French bulldog without an owner. So I scooped the French bulldog up in my hands, or my hand rather, because I had Lola on one leash. And fortunately, the guy doesn't resist, little guy. And he's small enough that I can carry him with one hand. And I look both ways and I cross this busy street. And as I'm making my way over to where this child is kind of toddling along, I say toddling, kind of going from foot to foot, if you can picture that, tiny, tiny little child near a parked pickup truck, I hear from an open door in one of the townhouses, "Who left the door open? The dog got out!" And all of a sudden, a second dog shoots out of this door. It's about the size of my dog, Lola. And then, right behind that dog comes a woman. And I say, is this your child over here? And I'm pointing with my leash in my right hand to the little kid on the other side of the pickup truck. And she didn't even realize the kid had got out of the house. She thought the dogs were out. She didn't realize this little child. I don't know if it was her daughter. I assume it was her daughter. And she comes running around the pickup truck and she goes and grabs the kid. And then I've got her French bulldog in my left hand. And I ask her, I said, you know, do you want me to walk this dog into your home for you? And she said, no, I'll take it. And she takes it from me. And then a moment later, the boyfriend, husband, I don't know who he was, he came running out with a leash. And he leashed up the other dog, whose name, I guess, was Nova. And the little guy's name was Ace, the guy that I was holding. But yeah, that was a wild occurrence. But fortunately, everything worked out okay. But for a moment there, I didn't know what the heck to do. But fortunately, that story had a happy ending. You guys know about the Dirt Man? Men, I know you know about the Dirt Man. Do women know about the Dirt Man? Ladies, have you ever looked under your significant other's pillow or your father's pillow or your uncle's pillow and seen some dirt there and wondered what's going on? Well, here's a little song to explain it, okay? And fellas, you know about the Dirt Man, but let's school the ladies on the Dirt Man, okay? Because they need to know about the Dirt Man.
We're guys. We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the Dirt Man.
Right.
What? Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the Dirt Man, so he won't take me down.
That's right, you don't want him to take you down.
To his lair, deep under the mountain.
What are you talking about?
Underground, that's where he keeps his dirt.
Alright. So now you know. That cracked me up so much. It was a guy named Carter Vale. He's a singer. That came up on my For You page on TikTok, and I started cracking up. Carter Vale is a musician. He's got at least one album out. I listened to the whole thing. It was quite good. Not all the songs are silly like that. But yeah, thought that was quite fun. The Dirt Man. And I've got a couple clips for you. I'm going to get into them right now. But before we do, we need the clip music. So, clip music, por favor. Whenever there's trouble, without the double, we're the Bloodhound Gang. If you've got the crime, we've got the time, we're the Bloodhound Gang. Thank you. Okay, the first up we have... I'm wondering which one I should play first. I'm thinking I play Johnny Pemberton first. Folks, you may know Johnny Pemberton. He's a comedian. He's been around. He's been in things. And he does stand-up also. And he's quite funny. I had some notes about this one. Yeah, this is a bit Johnny Pemberton did about a remembrance he had while walking through a Target. I thought this was quite good. Check out this Johnny Pemberton bit about Don't Wake Daddy.
You guys remember the Target? I was there at one point in time before today. And I was walking around. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, just something shot into my brain was this phrase. Was, don't wake daddy. I'm like, what the hell is that? Like, you know, I didn't look at anything that said that or anything. It wasn't, like, in the daddy section or... But all of a sudden, I hear, like, this, don't wake daddy. And it wasn't, like, don't wake daddy. It wasn't, like, don't wake. It wasn't, like, it was definitely, don't wake daddy. I think I'm, like, what the heck is that? What does that mean? Don't wake daddy. And a couple hours later, I realized, oh, it's a commercial for a... game. Yes, a game from my childhood was on TV. Don't Wake Daddy. If you guys don't remember what Don't Wake Daddy was, surprise. It was a game where the object of the game was to not wake daddy. And daddy was like in a mechanical bed. And if you woke him, he'd like spring up and be like, oh! Why did you wake me? That's the game. You're just supposed to not wake daddy. He even has a little hat on, like a little, like, you know, Charles Dickens cap. And when he sits up, when you wake him, it flies off. And he's like, I woke, I'm awake. I researched that game a bit. I'm like, oh my God. How did this get made? Because think about it, like, you must have some serious trauma if you're dedicating your life to make a nationally advertised children's game where the whole idea is to do not wake your father. Do not. Hi, sharks.
Thought that was quite good. That's Johnny Pemberton. That one came off TikTok, if you're looking for it. And the other fella, again, his name is Carter Vale, V-A-I-L, the Dirt Man, with the Dirt Man song there. And also check out Carter Vale's music. Again, quite good. Not all funny, but definitely a good songwriter. The last clip I wanted to play for you was somebody I've played before. This is the gentleman Kevin James Thornton. And you may remember this fella because he does the It Was the 90s bit, and he kind of... uses a auto-tune sort of like device on his voice when he does his TikToks. And this had me cracking up. This is Kevin James Thornton talking about a lamp that his grandmother owned that he was obsessed with as a little boy. Check this out.
When I was a kid, my grandma had this weird lamp that had a little naked lady statue with wires around it, and oil dropped down the wires and it looked like rain. It was a rain on the naked lady lamp, and I loved it. And I know this doesn't make any sense, but in my memory, the rain was like cinnamon rain. It was a cinnamon rain on the naked lady lamp. And every time I went to her house, I was like, Grandma, can we look at the cinnamon rain on the naked lady lamp? And she always seemed a little irritated when I asked to look at the cinnamon rain on the naked lady lamp. And one time I asked, and she had just had it, so she made my grandfather put the cinnamon rain on the naked lady lamp away in the attic. And looking back, I realized my grandma thought I was being, like, kind of perverted, wanting to look at the cinnamon rain on the naked lady lamp. But the naked lady part, I wasn't even really tuned into. I just wanted to look at the cinnamon rain.
I love that. I love that. My grandmother had a weird lamp, too. I suppose that's why I related to that clip so much. I thought it was so funny. It's been viewed 1.5 million times, so there's a chance you may have seen that TikTok with Mr. Kevin James Thornton. And again, I don't normally play people more than once, but I thought that was too good not to include in this episode. But yeah, it reminded me of this lamp my grandmother had, and she must have had this for my cousin Jimmy and I, because we were both little guys around the same age, and we were into all things little boys were, including superheroes. But my grandmother had this Joker ceramic lamp. And when I say Joker, I mean like the Joker from Batman. And what it was like probably like an 8-inch ceramic figurine of the Joker standing with his legs spread apart, holding a cane at waist level, and this maniacal grin on his face. And then you'd obviously switch on the light. The light bulb was above the Joker. I mean, this would terrify a child, but my cousin Jimmy and I thought it was hilarious because the cane the Joker was holding had somehow broken and was not there. So what it looked like instead was the Joker holding his Scoobies. You know what I mean when I say Scoobies, right? Come on. Grow up. His testicles! With a maniacal grin on his face. Anyway. Boy, this is a hilarious lead-in for our friend Rachel. But it is what it is. To say a phrase that, what was it? Knocked off of the catchphrases, the most annoying catchphrases on The Best Show this past week. I'm so glad somebody didn't say one day at a time, because that's my new mantra. I was like, oh man, if somebody calls in and says one day at a time, and Tom throws this on the list, I'm going to be crushed. One day at a time. Okay. At this point, I'm going to hand things off to our friend, Rachel from Des Moines. And she is going to give you the chart chat. So, without any further ado, take it away, Rachel.
Thanks, Andy. Hello, and welcome back to Rachel's Chart Chat for another week. Thanks to everyone who listened last week. I really learned a lot, not only in preparing the segment, but from the great listener comments, sharing what those artists and songs mean to you/them. Thanks to Tavy, Jill, Andy, Jeffrey, Sherry, and Bob for your comments and sharing the episode. For this week, I want to share with you some info about one of my favorite bands, Genesis. So I decided to focus on their U.S. singles released in the, quote, Gabriel era of the band. This is based on information available on 45cat.com. Genesis formed in Surrey, England in the late 1960s. It was the fusion of two existing bands, The Garden Wall with Peter Gabriel, Tony Banks, and Chris Stewart, and The Anon with Mike Rutherford and Anthony Phillips. All of them were classmates at the Charterhouse School, a private boarding school which at the time was all boys. Something interesting is that they weren't really into playing covers, as many bands are when they first start out, and actually used their bands as a vehicle for their own songwriting. The band came to the attention of a Charterhouse alumnus named Jonathan King, who was, quote, flush with success of his 1965 hit single Everyone's Gone to the Moon, number 4 UK, number 17 US. King got the group a deal to record two singles and an album. He also tried to name them Gabriel's Angels. The first single, The Silent Sun, with That's Me as the B-side, was released in February of 1968 in the US and the UK. In the UK, it came out on Decca, the same label King was on, but in the US, it was on a label called Parrot Records. which was known for handling the U.S. releases of Decca singles as well as some U.S. artists like Frigid Pink and Bobby Boris Pickett. I mention this so you will Google them and see the cute parrot logo on the label. A second single, A Winter's Tale, was released in the UK. Neither one made much of an impact. On King's insistence, drummer Chris Stewart was replaced before they recorded the full length From Genesis to Revelation. This was John Silver. From Genesis to Revelation came out in March of 1969 at home, but wasn't released in the US until 1974. It hit number 170 on the 200 albums chart at that time. As the 60s turned into the 70s, Genesis got signed to Tony Stratton Smith's label Charisma, put out a few more UK singles, another album called Trespass, and changed drummers and lead guitarists twice, finally ending up with the lineup of Tony Banks on keyboards, Mike Rutherford on bass, Peter Gabriel on vocals and flute, Phil Collins on drums, and Steve Hackett on guitar. A funny story is told about the drummer auditions held at Peter Gabriel's family's country home in August of 1970. They had a pool, so Phil Collins swam in the pool while he waited to audition, and by the time it was his turn, he had heard the song so many times he absolutely nailed it. Of note, Anthony Phillips decided to leave Genesis for health reasons as well as stage fright in July 70 after recording Trespass. He went on to a prolific solo career. I'm a great fan of his 1978 release, Wise After the Event, with the squirrel on the cover. After a short stint for Mick Barnard, Steve Hackett joined the group in January of 1971. I learned that Genesis found Steve from an ad he placed in Melody Maker. Quote, imaginative guitarist-writer seeks involvement with receptive musicians, determined to strive beyond existing, stagnant music forms. The group's second album, Trespass, came out in October of 1970, with a U.S. release in Feb of 71, per 45 Worlds. With their new lineup in place, Genesis continued touring in 1971, including their first overseas gigs in Belgium, and at the Reading Festival. In July, they began to write and record the album that would become Nursery Crime. It was released in November of 1971 in the UK and May 72 in the US. Also in the US, three of the seven tracks from Nursery Crime were released as an EP in July of 72, The Musical Box, Four Absent Friends, and The Fountain of Salmasis. In addition, in the UK, they released a non-album single in May of 72 called Happy the Man, with a Nursery Crime track, Seven Stones, as the B-side. As far as I could find, none of this charted at the time in the UK or US, though the album hit number 11 in Italy and would go on to hit number 39 in the UK in May of 74, again after the group had gained more popularity. Personally, I was surprised that the song Return of the Giant Hogweed hadn't been edited down for a single release. It was the first song that made me a fan of, quote, arty intellectual Genesis, as Mr. Bateman would say, after I already was big into the We Can't Dance cassette. Hogweed is really energetic and attention-grabbing, and I think it could have brought them many new listeners. On the other hand, for people who claim to dislike prog, I feel they would really hate Return of the Giant Hogweed, possibly from the title alone. The next album for Genesis is Foxtrot, recorded from August through September of 72, and released in September 15th in the UK and November in 72 in the US. In the tour preceding these recording sessions, Peter Gabriel had started to get more into the masks and costumes for his stage performance, which attracted more press attention for the band. Then, at a gig in Dublin, not long after the album's release, Peter disappeared during an instrumental section of the Musical Box off Nursery Crime and returned wearing a fox's head and a red dress belonging to his wife Jill, mimicking the album's cover. Reportedly, he had not told his bandmates he was planning to do this, but it got them on the cover of Melody Maker. In March of 73 in the US, Genesis released a single off the album Opener called Watcher of the Skies, re-recorded with a few different lyrics and arrangements toward the end. It omits the very driving intro, but something had to go to get from 723 to 342. I've never heard that edit before, so I was glad that writing this segment made me look it up. Watcher of the Skies, the full version, was performed by Phish when they inducted Genesis into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010. They did a great job. You can find that single edit on their archive box set released in 1998. The B-side for Watcher was Willow Farm, a section from the epic Supper's Ready that takes up nearly all of Foxtrot's second side. I learned that Willow Farm had been a separate song Peter Gabriel was working on before it got added in as an interlude, so it made sense to lift it out again as a B-side. I think your enjoyment of the song and a certain chunk of the Genesis catalog of this era will vary based on your tolerance for whimsy. Gabriel was known to sing in different voices for different characters in the songs, which I think could definitely rub some the wrong way. For me, I think I heard it at the right age, college, where it all sounded good to me. I remember I bought Nursery Crime first because of Hogweed. Then I picked up Foxtrot on vinyl in the summer of 2001 at the Iowa State Fair. I ripped it from the record onto my Mac and burned a CD for my Discman. This is a very 2001 sentence. Did I mess up the recording and leave off the last verse of Get Him Out by Friday and not understand the dystopian message of a song about the housing crisis for many years? And when I finally heard the whole song, was I very afraid of the end? Yes and yes. Foxtrot was the first Genesis album to chart in the UK at the time of release. It hit number 12 on the official albums chart. It was also number 15 in France and Italy. In 1972 and 73, Genesis continued to tour, including North America for the first time. They mainly played the East Coast, made it as far west as Wichita. After touring, the label gave them 2 to 3 months to write and rehearse their next album, which was Selling England by the Pound. On the podcast James Bonding, hosts Matt and Matt often joked that two characters in a scene were having a British off, as in, who can be more British? And I feel this album wins all British offs forever. It was reportedly written to counter or preempt accusations that the band was losing their Englishness or becoming too American. The lyrics of Selling England by the Pound are packed with UK references, grocery store puns, short stories, mystifying double or even triple entendres, character sketches, and place names that sound exotic to Americans but are ordinary London neighborhoods. The US and the UK markets both received a single release of I Know What I Like, in parentheses, In Your Wardrobe, with Twilight Alehouse on the B-side. At home, it was the group's first appearance on the official singles chart, hitting number 21 in April 20th of 74. In the lyrics, Gabriel sings, Over the garden wall, two little lovebirds cuckoo to you, which has a new significance for me now that I know his pre-Genesis band with Tony Banks was called Garden Wall. I found a YouTube upload of someone playing the 45 of the Wardrobe single. Like Watcher of the Skies, it basically skips the intro, which I have to say I don't understand. It was only 4 minutes 8 seconds to begin with, and without the intro, the story or character piece loses its impact. Over a minute was trimmed. By contrast, the B-side Twilight Alehouse runs over 7 minutes. This is described as a live favorite, which dates back to when Anthony Phillips was still with the band. I must admit, I've heard of this song, but never sought it out. Listening to it this evening, it feels like it could fit in on Nursery Crime, other than the production sounds much better. Twilight Alehouse was also included on that box set in 98. So unfortunately, even though it was released in January of 1974, at a time when the top 40 was hurting for some good rock, in my opinion, Wardrobe did not chart in the US, although the album Selling England marked Genesis' debut on the US 200 albums chart. It hit a peak of number 70 on April 13, 1974, spending 29 weeks on the chart. I want to mention also that Phil Collins had a then-rare lead vocal performance on Selling England with a song called More Fool Me, a Relationship on the Rocks ? Ballad. This could have easily been another single. Well, there's one more Gabriel-era US single to discuss, but I'm afraid we're out of time. It's a title track from Genesis' 1974 double album, The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, with the erotic Counting Out Time as the B-side. I will tell you more about that at another time. Well, that's all from me this week. Thanks so much for listening. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Rachel. Incredible work, as always. This has been episode 330 of the People Are the Enemy podcast. Our theme song is Walrus Love by Nokia Ocean. You can find that song and more at pizzapuppies.bandcamp.com. My name is Andy Mascola. You can purchase my novels via Amazon and other online book retailers in both paperback and ebook formats for as little as $1.99. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you, Rachel from Des Moines. We love you. Peace.